Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. If Bob didn't say it, then it probably ain't true. This is Primetime Sports with a man who cannot tell a lie. Bob McCown. Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Friday, May the 27th, 2016. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. Bob McCown, John Shannon, Gord, Kirk, Ken Reed around the table. Hour 3 of 3 as we get you set for the weekend. You may be enjoying it even as we speak. After a short week. The Toronto Blue Jays, home to the Boston Red Sox. They have a string of 12 consecutive games against the Yankees and the Red Sox, which will do something to establish where they are at. Is it going to be the final picture at the end of this? No, I don't think so. But they can play themselves into it or out of it. Or something in between over the course of the next nine. They win 2 out of 3 in New York. Not an easy place for the Blue Jays historically to win. Also against a Yankee team that had won, well, I think including that first game victory, 6 in a row, I believe. So the Yankees were playing pretty well, mostly getting good pitching. But this is a Blue Jay team that is back in third place. We still have consternation about how this team is playing. But do we get any, is there any relief? Is there any sense that maybe we've been overreacting to this lack of offense based on the fact that this team, you know, is still hanging around 500?
Best thing that I saw during the 7-game road trip, and my eyes were bugging out of my head, and I was just relieved. Top of the ninth yesterday.
Guys going to right field.
Yes.
Going the other way.
Aroldis Chapman comes
on
the
mound. No, it's against Chapman. That's the unfortunate part.
He's throwing 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, you had no choice.
He got his swing
late. But 3 in a row.
But
you had no choice.
Bob,
you weren't going to get around on his fastball.
That's it, Bob. You absolutely had no choice. But what we've seen so far from the Jays this year is they do have a choice, and they always just choose to swing for the fences. It's homer or bust. Now, they had 8 runs, 8-4 win in the second game, and I'm thinking, hey, that's kind of what this team was advertised as. They're going to win 8-4. They're going to lose 6-5. But to see them up 2-1 and actually approach at-bats intelligently in the top of the ninth at Yankee Stadium, I was just going, where has this been all year? And if that's what I'm going to see the rest of the year, I was just, as a Jays supporter, fan, whatever you want to call me, I don't care. It was a sense of relief. And, oh, my God, these guys are actually using their brains instead of just hauling back and trying to crank one out of the yard.
And if you've listened to this show the last couple of weeks, Bob and I have been in this argument, hitting versus pitching. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to talk about the bottom of the eighth. And even though Gavin Floyd put the first guy on, all of a sudden, there you go. The bullpen actually comes in.
They did something.
and relieved.
Well, you know what I would say to that? The key to the game, as far as I was concerned, was Hap was pitching well and doing it efficiently. And so you didn't need the bullpen in the seventh.
Osuna or bust almost, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you got nervous with Floyd in there.
Oh, did you ever? When Ellsbury got on? Oh, man, so, not again.
Sure.
And you feel for Jay Happ. I mean, he just has a remarkable day. And then
smart decisions, simple decision, change the rotation. Happ pitches at Yankee Stadium with, you know, a left-hander with the right field porch. You know, pretty smart decision to put him in that position at Yankee Stadium. Sabathia was great yesterday, too.
Yes,
that was
pretty
good pitching duel.
It was a great match.
Well, look, Jay Happ is arguably, other than one start, take that one start away, Happ's maybe the best pitcher in Major League Baseball right now.
2.13 ERA since August 22nd last year. And I mean, he's
a couple guys in Chicago
I know. Well, Arrieta's pretty good, huh?
And Chris Sale, even though he's just not, lost.
Yeah, you're probably right. But he's in that conversation.
Yeah. You know, without that one start. I was much better than when everybody saw the Jays sign him. I mean, half the market said,
"Oh no!"
Right. And the other side said, "Who?" Yeah. But the oh no's, the oh no's were going not the same Hap.
But he was good. The same Hap was good when he was here a couple of years ago.
He was also great in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but I just found yesterday to be, if there's going to be a breakthrough moment for me, it was the top of the ninth yesterday. And it's nothing that's going to make the highlight reels. Three singles to right field, you know, that produce a run. But to me, it was actual intelligent baseball, and I don't think, for the most part, at least from the at bats, we've seen that a lot of times this year.
Now Chapman sat out the first 30 days, and so he hasn't had a whole lot of appearances. I think it was his eighth appearance of the year, so it's not a lot, but I believe it was the first run he's given up all year.
Right. And you know what? To me, I couldn't care less who they did it against. It was just intelligent. It was just good to see them actually approaching at bats, thinking about it instead of just going up there and hacking away. And hacking away is going to work some nights. Yeah. It's not going to work every night.
But because it's a change, and it's a change for the better, do you suspect somebody has spoken up? Somebody in the coaching staff has taken the boys aside?
No. You mean you said hit it to right field?
Yeah.
No, they hit it to right field because that's all they could do.
I think there's three
right-handed hitters. They couldn't get around on it. If there was a left-hander in there that actually pulled one to right field, I'd say, okay, maybe there was a conversation. They were swinging as fast as they could catch up on it.
They shortened their swings up. They approached it intelligently.
But all year long, there have been situations
where they haven't had a choice, and they've still made the wrong choice.
The guy was throwing 103.
They did it right. Tip of the cap for Travis smoking Pilar for a professional at bats.
And I tell you what, Travis, a little bit of credit back at second base, doing what he's supposed to do. I mean, you have to wonder, at what point does Gibbons decide to put him at the top of the order and get rid of Bob's leadoff?
Well, it could be tonight because
Carrera's leading off.
Oh, is Carrera leading off?
Yeah. But I thought it would have been tonight. Why wait?
Well,
they just want to give him some timing, I guess.
Well, here's what I would say to that. I think the fact that Carrera's leading off tonight, if that's true, and I assume it is, it means that Gibbons is going to go right back to
Bautista.
Bautista's had hits, I think, in virtually every game that he's led off, and his on-base percentage is exactly what you want from a leadoff hitter.
They're 5-2 with Bautista as leadoff hitter. That's the ultimate stat for me.
Well, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, you're an idiot. at the beginning of the year.
I still don't like it.
And you're still an idiot. At the beginning of the year, before the year started, I said, look at this. Look at the stats. When you're looking for who's going to lead off, I said, it's a dumb idea. Maybe it's not probably going to happen, but Bautista's the guy. Statistically, his numbers historically are exactly what you would want from a leadoff hitter. Except he manages to hit 40 or so home runs a year. So he's doing what you want a leadoff hitter to do, get on base.
Do we not all agree, though, this is a bit of a stopgap? I mean, I can't see this last.
Oh, I hope so.
Travis ultimately has to become your leadoff guy.
We did kind of gather that, Gord, first 5 minutes.
Well, Mickey Mantle should have been batting leadoff, too.
Who knows how well the Yankees would have done with Mickey Mantle batting leadoff.
Even better.
They could have been quite the team.
Who knows? This guy Joe Biagini has been an interesting find, kind of out of nowhere. With Floyd's performance yesterday, Biagini being, pretty good, has this bullpen now turned around?
Not yet. Not yet.
Again,
the very least, are these the guys you're going to see setting up Osuna?
I'm not betting on. Well, for the short term, sure. Yeah. But you, I think they're sitting back waiting for the 2016 version of someone to step up and be that Brett Cecil type guy. Because as you've said, I've heard you on the radio a couple times saying, get your starter, and then you just get to Osuna. They really need to find that guy.
I said it earlier today.
Right. They need to find that guy in the middle, and who it's going to be, I have no idea. It's been a disaster so far this year.
Well, but you can't keep managing the same way and pulling your pitcher after six innings and then going to A, B, and C.
Six? How about
four?
The starters five. Have been great.
The starters have been fantastic.
Look, let
pitch till their arm comes off.
I know.
Let them stay out there.
Unfortunately, that's Gibbons' only option.
If they're pitching well, I don't care how many pitches they've thrown. If they're tired, if they're hurt, fine. But Absent that, let him stay out there. You've had a lot of good performances, a lot of quality starts where pitchers have been pulled after six innings. When you have no bullpen, that I don't think that's how you manage.
I think the only option, well, it's not an option, but I think that the middle relief guy for the Jays is a starter. It's Aaron Sanchez. That's who you'd want down there, I think, ideally.
That's not going to happen.
For 70, and it's not going to happen.
I'm. Can you please get... You and all your friends here, can you please get off this Aaron Sanchez in the bullpen guy?
Well, it's ultimately going to happen.
He's a premium starter. It's not ultimately going to happen. He's a premium starter. That's what he was bred to be. That's what they drafted him to be.
So was Osuna.
And now he's the only reason he went to the pen was because when he came back out of the after the injury, the Blue Jays rotation was essentially full and they wanted to keep it intact. So he comes back of the injury. Where are we going to put him? Well, let's stick him in the bullpen for a while. And he pitched well out of the bullpen. Now they've given him the opportunity to start. He is a starter. He will be a starter. He is not going back to the bullpen. It would be the stupidest thing they could do.
Well, they might be stupid because they have an innings limit on him. And you want to use them all
what
up
is
before
the,
September?
Really, what's the innings limit?
Does he not have one? Have we not heard that all year?
What is the innings limit?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. There isn't one.
Okay, then.
He's going to miss a few starts in order to try and keep his innings down. But to put him in the bullpen simply because he reaches a magic number that some guy made up is absurd.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm saying it's probably going to happen.
No, it's not. I will not allow it.
Put your foot down.
Well, someone's got to. We've heard some rumors the past little while that there is interest in Edwin Encarnacion. What's the impact of trading Edwin Encarnacion? First of all, you don't trade him. First of all, he's 10-5. So
you have to ask him.
Got to ask him first. Yep. That's number one. But let's assume you get past that. Let's also assume that you've already decided not to re-sign him for next year. Is that a move you could make and have the as good a chance of winning a divisional title as with him in the lineup?
Who are you getting back in this fantasy?
Prospect.
Well, I would assume you're going to get some young pitching.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't make the deal then. I think this team's not dead. This team has got...
By no means are they dead.
By no means. That's right. I mean, they were 50-51 at one point last year. Now, mind you, a lot of pressure on the end of the year. We don't want that again. But no, I wouldn't make the deal. I think it has the potential, especially if you're just getting back a little bit of ute. A little bit of ute in return. I think it
what if you got
potential.
A class A pitching prospect, starting pitching prospect?
I
like a real top drawer starting pitching
prospect.
Well,
now you're talking me out of it. But no, I wouldn't do it because as long as I think the year is alive and there's some potential, I think a part of that, a significant part of that, is Encarnacion. I keep him. I don't show the fans I'm quitting for next year.
You sure don't trade him to another American League East team. Mm-mm. But can you trade him to the National League?
No. I think he's destined to be an American League player.
You don't think he's good enough at first base?
No. I don't think anybody who's a contender in the National League will think he's not good enough at first base. And I think that's...
So therefore, you got to trade him to the American League Central or the American League West?
Yeah. I don't know. But why are... I mean... If there's enough interest in him, doesn't that tell you that he should be in your lineup too?
That's right.
And I know that he's a free agent at the end of the season. But to Gord's point, I'm not giving up on this season. I mean, the 5-2 in their last seven tells me, until further notice, that they can play some baseball, some quality baseball. We've talked about the 12 games. The 12 against the Yankees and the Red Sox. We're only three games into that at this point. You know, hold their breath. Let's see what happens. And, you know, Bautista's back tomorrow. Maybe he can hit a ball. And life is pretty good.
Sunday, the Red Stockings are still here in Toronto. And David Price will make his first appearance at the Rogers Center since leaving Toronto. What do we anticipate the response will be?
Very positive. I think he created a very favorable impression in Toronto, not just because of his pitching. I thought he was a good citizen of the team and the city. I think people liked him here, and I don't think that'll turn. I mean, I think you'll get some good-natured razzing, but I think overall it'll be a friendly reception.
Hopefully he gets a huge, huge pop from the crowd. I would expect that. It wasn't, hey, he wasn't offered a deal.
I was going to say, right.
He didn't turn down the
team. Not like he said, I'm out of here. So yep. He was never offered a deal from the Blue Jays. So hopefully people are quite supportive of him. He was a massive difference for the team, obviously, last year and winning the AL East. And then when the game starts, he plays for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, when the playoffs started, he wasn't near the pitcher that he was in the regular season.
Right.
So it's funny. He seems to have still a very positive following in Tampa. In Detroit, for that short period of time he was in Detroit, I think there's no reason why the quality baseball fans of Southern Ontario wouldn't treat him the same way.
Right.
I mean,
he
did everything right here.
Absolutely.
He came, he glowed about the popcorn, he bought scooters and housecoats. I mean, what else is there? I mean, he had fun being a baseball player, and he was very likable.
It was evident his teammates liked him, too.
Right.
He was a very welcome member.
Scooters and housecoats,
Gordon,
well,
that's
come
right,
on.
That's right.
Buy
you can
a
buy
house
your
coat.
Friends
for life.
No,
yeah.
Scooter.
Scooter.
I want a scooter.
It is well known that if you get to go to the Academy Awards, the reason you never turn that down is because
the goodie
grab bag.
That's right.
These multi-gazillionaires will go to this thing, and the only thing they want to go for
is the bag.
Yeah.
They're like me for free golf.
Which you're never going to get. So you are now retired officially from playing golf ever. Cheap bastard. David Ortiz's going away campaign. This is the new thing in sports. I don't think it existed before.
And it shouldn't.
Where players decide to announce, at the end of this year, I'm leaving. This is my final year. It's almost as if they're asking you to bow down or give me gifts on the way out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Jeter did it and got all those gifts.
Yes.
Ortiz may or may not get similarly treated. But the one thing Ortiz is doing is maybe almost assuredly having the best walk-off season in the history of all sports. Maybe second only to Jim Brown, who just did it for 9 years and then said, out of hell with it, I leave. Can you cite another athlete that's had a better year on his I'm leaving?
Final year?
Not so far.
So far. It's unbelievable.
But you have to wonder, I mean, for 162 games, can he maintain this?
No, but...
I mean, for this short window right now?
No, but I think he can have a very good
He can
season.
Have a great, yeah. Like, yeah. Even if he's kind of half stinks for the rest of the year, he's still going to put up some pretty
Ever
deep...
Ever since he got in that argument at home plate, that seemed to really, really turn him around.
Yeah.
He got into a big brouhaha.
When he went all Hulk Hogan there?
Yeah. And that really seemed to invigorate him and the Red Sox, by the way. They're playing well.
The Red Sox are the Blue Jays. They play the way the Blue Jays were advertised to play.
Yeah.
They smash the ball. Everybody's hitting the ball. This is what I think a lot of fans envision this year's Blue Jays team to look like, is what the Red Sox look like right now.
Well, it's what we actually saw last year from the Blue Jays. So here's another question. So Ortiz has this colossal season. Don't the Red Sox offer him a crap load of money to have another one?
I would.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
But if you're him, do you need more crap loads of money? And wouldn't you want, like, I guess that's the thing. You always think he has one more fight, right?
Yeah, one more in me. Yeah.
You know?
But the thing is, does he, I mean, I don't know what his thinking pattern is, but does he say, I really went out as well as anybody can go out. Let's leave it at that.
Well,
or does he say, maybe I could do that again? Wow.
So the Red Sox come, okay, Gord, the guy has made good money.
Yeah.
Hasn't made max money.
No, he's made good money.
But he's made good money.
Yeah.
Red Sox offer him $25 million,
yeah,
which is at least commensurate with the kind of season he appears to be having.
Yes.
I'm not talking about they overpay him.
Yeah.
They pay him based on whatever he winds up being this year.
Yes.
$25 million.
Yeah. What do you think?
Does he say no?
Being the realist
you are. Does he feel like he's committed to retire?
Being the financial realist you are, what do you think his agent, who you might recall gets a percentage of what he earns, what do you think his agent advises?
As you well know, I'm well aware of the commissions that agents are entitled to.
Well, no, the agent's going to obviously. I mean, it's
look. I don't think the agent has one client.
Back.
I think the agent would look at the best interests of the athlete.
Yeah. And what do you think his wife is advising him to do?
There is the ultimate question.
Well,
right. Honey, you won't hurt yourself. Please go back and bring home $25 million.
Mm, mommy needs new jewelry.
Yes.
But it's a great question, and I mean I think that's the ultimate.
I think it's the first time I've ever even contemplated this.
Isn't that the ultimate test for an athlete? When to walk away, and if you're doing this, do you want to walk away?
Well, and you've announced you're going to walk away. Can you change your mind?
You can change your mind. Yes, you can. Have you watched Donald Trump lately? You can change your mind.
As many times as you want.
Yeah, you can change your mind.
By the way, there's no drought in California,
and you don't even have to have logical reasons to change your mind.
But you can. This is one of the things when you do make this announcement prior to the season, when you do create this aura of my last time at bat, quote unquote, that you can't change your mind.
But has he started getting the gifts yet? Because then he has to give the gifts back.
And more importantly, the way baseball teams and any pro sports team runs now, and they're trying to manage and budget for the future, that $25 million is not there anymore. That $25 million is cut up and divided or distributed for other players next year. And
maybe
that's where the budget is.
Ain't no salary cap in baseball.
No, but the owner
of the Boston Red Sox has got plenty of cake and he's willing to spend it.
And you know what? The frustration for Red Sox fans is no matter how good the team is, no matter they still make the same amount of money and the fans still show up and Nesson still draws millions of viewers and the cable fees go up, and that all goes in John Henry's pocket. So it doesn't matter if David Ortiz comes back. And what they do get is a grandiose year of Ortiz, and then sail off into the sunset and enjoy your life and say goodbye.
That's the right thing.
That's absolutely
saying.
That's the only way to do it. Well, that's not the only way, but it's the right way.
If he wanted to come back for whatever reason, he needs the cooperation of the team to do one thing, in addition to put $25 million in his pocket. I would want, if I was Ortiz, for the team to sell to the public that it was the team's request, and please do one for the team, one more for the team. We need you, Papa, Poppy.
I agree. That's an excellent point, and I think that kind of gets him off the hook.
Absolutely. And he says, I couldn't walk away from the team that I've been so loyal to and part of for so long. They need me for one more year. I got to do it.
And I don't even see it as an off the hook thing. If he announced today, "Hey, I'm not going to retire," I wouldn't hold it against him. I don't think that's a reflection of him as a person or his personality.
You would, huh?
You hold it against him
when you announce, you got to go.
If you say you're going, you're going. You know, can't change.
Why?
Your mind.
Look at boxing. Guys come back all the time.
Yeah. We're boxing.
NHL.
Okay? Tell me when.
Guy Lafleur.
No, he did go away for a couple of years. Got
three
all
years.
The
Mario Lemieux.
Mario Lemieux had cancer, Bob, if you recall.
But he retired.
He did retire.
He retired and then unretired.
Listen, with what Ortiz has done.
Michael Jordan, retired then unretired.
No, you want
me to keep going? I mean,
How about Brett Favre?
Wait a second. I can come.
I don't think he ever retired, did he? I don't think he ever retired.
Sure he did.
I just think he didn't. He got cut by the Packers. Well, he was told he wasn't going to be re-signed.
I don't know.
I don't think they were going to sign him.
You can argue all you want.
Well, I'm not. But you didn't feel better for Michael Jordan coming back. You rolled your eyes and said, "Are you kidding me?" You did same thing with LaFleur.
I was thrilled he came back. He was the greatest player I ever saw.
John, I'm curious.
He made watching basketball.
I was jacked
fun.
When Guy came back.
What do you think the negative consequences are to the individual of coming back?
I think that's all part of it.
You're not a man of your word. You said you were going to quit. Now you're not going to.
I think that's out there.
Yeah, but man, I just hit 400 with 50 home runs and won the triple crown.
And I'll tell you what, wouldn't that be a great way to finish your career?
Well, that's one side of it.
Ted Williams, right? Home run, last at bat.
Yeah, and when your bank manager calls on Sunday morning and says,
somehow I don't think David Ortiz's bank manager.
Well, you don't know. He may have problems.
I think this comes back to
25 million. You said no to 25 million. What do you got?
He's probably got. These are the World Cup rosters.
Ah,
by the way, Joe Thornton made Canada.
Oh, he did. But yeah. Bob, how you started this is why do you have to announce your last season before the season begins?
Oh,
why the victory lap? Because you know why? Because we live in this society where everybody has to click their little self picture. We live in a narcissistic society, is what I'm saying. So why do you have to announce?
Because he wants a gift bag.
Exactly. Gift bag.
Can't get a gift bag if you don't retire.
Exactly. Seriously, gifting opposition players?
I'd have quit a long time ago if I thought this cheap-ass company would give me a gift bag, but
give me a golf membership. I'm out.
See? You'd walk, too.
Yep.
What's in the gift bag?
Golf membership. their certificate.
Yeah. Be 10% off Rogers Cable. Here we go. Here are the rosters for... Oh, I got more baseball. No, we'll come back to it. Here are the roster additions. For Team Canada.
Yep.
Brad Marchand. Claude Giroux.
Interesting.
Matt Duchesne.
Should have been there. Had a great world championship.
Brent Burns.
Well, given.
Alex Pietrangelo.
Great defenseman in St. Louis.
And Joe Thornton.
Yeah, that's to me, that's surprise.
That's a great story.
Huh? Yeah, so the story is no PK.
The other, no PK and no Taylor Hall. I think there'll be a lot of people in Edmonton very upset that Taylor Hall didn't make this team.
Point apart, are we chiming in? Or
go ahead. Still,
I'm just going to say, let's be honest, this tournament is about increasing revenue for the PA and the NHL. If you could think of one player for Team Canada to help sell this, to me it's PK Subban. I would put him on this team because he's capable as a player, and he's a fantastic personality who can sell the game. Strike Team Canada. That's
I don't think they need to sell the game that much.
They need to sell the World Cup.
Is it disrespectful that Corey Perry is not in this list?
Well, the one thing I as Bob, I know you were listening today at noon, Hockey Central.
Yeah, until you did that crappy interview with that no-name guy who got traded.
Thank you very much. I think that what came out at the World Championships was Corey Perry's lack of speed. And I think that when you looked at the roster of the speed of these guys, that they needed to make sure that they had a certain level of speed. And I think Corey Perry didn't fit into the speed they're trying to create.
Team USA, James Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, injured most of the season for the Leafs. You have to wonder how healthy he's going to be. But he must be good enough. And no Phil Kessel.
Was he traded to the Philadelphia Flyers? James Van Riemsdyk?
No, he came from Philly.
Well, why is the Philadelphia Flyers on here?
They made a mistake,
obviously. It's wrong.
Brandon Dubinsky.
Columbus Blue Jackets, centerman.
David Backes. St. Louis Blues.
Yes. Yeah.
Ryan Callahan, Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Eric Johnson, Colorado,
yeah.
Jack Johnson, Columbus.
Yeah.
Matt Niskanen, Washington.
Yeah. And as I said, no Phil Kessel.
No Kessel.
And I just got a note from somebody saying that Phil was told about a half an hour ago that he wasn't on the team. And Mr. Kessel, who we know very well in this area, Mr. Kessel is not very impressed with what went on by not being picked. He wanted to be on the team, and he's very disappointed.
I wouldn't be impressed either.
No.
You think it's a slight?
Very much so.
This is what? Sorry?
Hey, by the way, you better do the under-23 team because Austin Matthews didn't make it.
Did Austin Matthews didn't make it?
Did.
Oh, did. Okay. I'll give them a check mark for marketing there.
Do I have the under-23?
North American team.
Oh, Team North America. Why don't they just call it Team Under-23? Or as I like to refer to them, Team Puke.
Oh.
Mark Scheifele. Ryan, why do we have this team?
I agree. It's gimmicky.
This is a gimmick. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Austin Matthews.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
From the Zurich Lions.
Well, that's where he played last year.
Thank you, John. That's why I mentioned it.
Well, no, but some people may not know that, Bob.
Why would I mention it?
Prior to the World Championships, Austin Matthews was not on this roster. And talking to people who were picking the team, they said he's on the outside looking in. But after his World Championship, he was very impressive, and he made the team.
Jonathan Drouin. How interesting, huh?
How the worm turns, huh?
No kidding. From I'm not playing in the minors to I'm going to the big show.
Yeah.
Shane
Gostisbehere.
Thank you.
Defenseman for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Can never get that one
right. Often spelt phonetically in our teleprompter.
Gostisbehere.
Yeah.
Now I know. Colton Parayko.
Big defensive St.
Louis.
Sweet
defense.
And yeah, really good.
Love Jakub Trouba.
Jacob Trouba. He's an American.
Jakub Trouba.
Jake Trouba.
That's a different guy.
You call his dad right now on the phone and ask him.
I'm not supposed to be on the phone during
Jacob
the show.
Or Jakub?
From Plymouth, Michigan, Jakub Trouba.
Hey, by the way, just to talk about it, I know that people don't like the under-23 in Team Europe, but when you consider that there's a good chance that the NHL players are not going to the Olympics, you better get used to international tournaments like this. We may not see them at the Olympics.
See, I think they missed the boat here, though. If you're going to market this tournament, it's in Toronto. Wouldn't you love as a Leafs fan to go see Phil Kessel? And wouldn't you love as a casual hockey fan to know that PK Subban is on Team Canada? Yeah. Yes. Okay, and yes. We and got neither of them are in the tournament.
Who would you put him on better. The team instead of who would Subban surpass?
Replace, Alex Pietrangelo.
Not a chance.
Oh, not a chance.
Who were the other D they made today? Brent Burns. And who was the other D? Pietrangelo and who else?
Just a minute. Patience.
You're in charge, Bob.
Well, yeah, but I moved it to the bottom. Jake Muzzin.
Ooh. Well, Muzzin's pretty good with Doughty. They'll play Muzzin with Doughty, right?
Oopsie. Yeah. Oopsie. Yeah, you see, a short tournament makes sense.
I put him on the wing then. He's on my team.
Okay. That better be the lead on Hockey or Sports Central tonight. PK, we want you.
Hey, seriously, if I'm trying... Look, you have to look at this from a business point of view, Bob, which I know you love to do. You're trying to generate revenue here for the PA and that the league. You have to have PK Subban.
PK will probably be at the Raptor game tonight. We can ask him.
He'll be with Nob Batya.
He will be down there on with Superfan.
Service open 7 days a week.
Is Jakob going to be there?
Jacob Trouba.
Jakob.
Jake Trouba from the Winnipeg Jets.
Trouba.
What are we doing here? I mean, seriously.
We're just having a few laughs. It's Friday. What do you want? We wouldn't do this on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday.
He's very serious.
It's Friday. Back to baseball. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Tonto. Jose Bautista's appeal of his one-game suspension was upheld by the deep thinkers at Major League Baseball today.
Somebody, no, it was denied.
Oh, his appeal was denied.
Yes.
The suspension was upheld.
Correct.
Isn't that what I said?
I thought the appeal
of the suspension.
This
right.
is what I would say. He still has to serve his one-game suspension.
It's one game. It's one game.
It's symbolic, though.
He wants to go to the Raptor game tonight anyway.
Yeah. We ain't going. So, somebody explained to me why he got suspended. I'm not here to suggest that Major League Baseball wasn't justified in giving him a one-game suspension. But in watching the incident in its totality,
yes.
I am... I don't know why.
Well, he failed to defend himself. He should have, or reciprocated it. He should have punched back. No, I'm being very facetious.
In other words, you don't have an answer.
I do have an answer. He should not have been suspended. The guy should have been out at first base.
But don't you believe that Major League Baseball, in all likelihood, has some level of evidence as to why he was suspended?
You would hope they have some evidence.
Could it be for the slide?
Yeah, their story would be wrong.
It's an automatic double play.
That's right.
They would probably say in a hostile situation, you had sparked it by your aggressive slide or something. Yeah.
He didn't touch that little dink at second base.
Tried.
Annoying little bugger. Well, no, I don't think he did. He just tried to take him out.
Yeah.
And he slid late. We understand that. And it's an automatic double play. That's your penalty for that. What else happened? That wasn't it. That's not why you get the one game. What else happened?
I don't know, Bob. You tell us, because I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I do think it's for the slide.
It is for the slide.
It is, clearly,
with the new rule in place to protect second baseman, and the fact that this is not the first time that Bautista has been called out in a similar slide situation like in the Tampa game.
Well, the first one was just a baby.
And that's right. So you got called out on that. You know the rule.
What's the rule? Is the rule if you have two incidents sliding into a base where an automatic out is called, you get a one-game suspension?
Well, that obviously looks like the rule?
That
looks like the precedent they might be close to setting.
They're just saying
in a hostile situation,
Here's the problem. They're saying nothing. They're leaving it to us to guess what's... If they want to teach a lesson, if they want players to realize, well, we better not do that or we'll get a one-game suspension, they should say the reason he's getting a one-game suspension...
Just to tell Jose Bautista it doesn't serve the purpose. No. You got to tell everybody.
Tell the players so they'll know what not to do.
This is why we did it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's inability to defend oneself against the right hook. By an itty-bitty little annoying...
Yeah.
You know what?
I love that slide. I thought that was great.
It was a great slide.
Yeah, but it was a legal slide last year. Yes, it's an illegal slide this year.
I think it's called baseball. Let's get rid of that.
Here.
I'm with you.
We agreed?
Another incident involving... Oh, did you say that?
Yes.
Oh, I take it back. In Minnesota, Josh Donaldson gets thrown at twice in the same at-bat by the Twins. Are the Blue Jays the bad boys of baseball now?
It would appear. That's what it's looking like.
Absolutely.
The Rangers would say so. Mm-hmm.
So this is a bad guy.
Is this a team that is roundly disliked?
Yes.
I mean, respected perhaps, but do they dislike them?
I think people despise
And if
despise
they do,
them.
It's because of
everything.
Everything. The black everything. Shirt,
the bat flip, their attitude, the crowd. Attitude flip.
The crowd.
Everything?
I mean, yeah. Everything.
They hate everything about us.
I like yes. that. I like that.
Toronto and is the heel.
And my answer is, yeah, so?
Yeah.
Suck exactly. it
it's
up.
It's good to be the bad guy, eh, Shannon?
I love being the yeah. bad guy. Mm-hmm.
Toronto Blue Jays are the Philadelphia Flyers of the 2015-16s.
Yeah, that's a little
I would harsh. Love to see John Gibbons in a Fred Shiro blazer.
It's a sight. Yeah.
Last question and real quick answers around the table. We had a conversation earlier this week about the firing of Freddie Gonzalez. By the Atlanta Braves. It leaves only Dave Roberts and Dusty Baker as minorities in managerial positions. There are no Latino managers in baseball. 28%, something like that, of the players in baseball are Latino. It seems a little strange that there are no Latino managers. But in the course of our conversation, we haven't been able to come up with how you fix this. Any ideas? Anybody thought about it? Like, if we acknowledge this isn't right and there's a problem here, whether it's intentional or unintentional, how do you fix it? Right now, baseball has the same policy as football. You got to interview a minority for a managerial job.
Yes.
We all understand that's a sham. It yep. doesn't work.
I don't know what step two is. Step one is that if there are Latino persons available for that position and qualified, In the
how do you determine whether they're qualified?
In the opinion of Major League Baseball.
Oh, you let them make a determination?
Yeah, what else are you going to do, right?
Wow.
You're going to have to promoting Latino players, not players, but Latino coaches and managers at the minor league level and work that way around. Because here, one of the biggest issues.
There's quite a few Latino coaches, though.
Well, but one of the biggest issues, Bob, and it's the same problem we're having actually in broadcasting when it comes to former players, is former players make so much money now. Mm-hmm. They don't need to work after right, they retire.
Right, right.
And it's the same thing in baseball. So you get
all sports.
Let's look at who's one of the great Latino baseball players, Bobby Abreu. Let's take Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols doesn't need to work another day of his life. So why would he come and learn how to be a coach? Why yeah. would he learn how to manage?
Yeah, but there aren't. You don't have to be a great player to be a great manager. In fact,
I'm just talking about guys. I'm just talking about money.
There's lots of players out there, John, that are Latinos that didn't make much money while they played and have
now,
gone into coaching.
Now?
Sure. And have gone into coaching.
Ooh, boy.
Carlos Tosca was the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays for 2.5 years.
Bob, that was
did a pretty good job.
That was 20 years ago now, though. When you think when he started. When he started to learn how to manage and take an interest in coaching. The game has changed a ton in that, and the money's changed everything.
Well, he got fired along with Gonzalez. So you figure it out. I'm not saying there's anything going on, but no one has come up with a definitive, is how you fix this.
They have
this
umpiring
problem.
Schools, have managing and coaching schools.
It all comes down to the guy. Who are the guys in charge, right. And who do you hire? You hire your buddies. Yes. So I think that's what it all comes down to. So how do you fix that?
The Bobby Winkle syndrome.
I don't have a clue how you fix it.
22 before the hour, the quick break. And the break won't be all that quick. I'd be lying. The next segment might be quick. It's primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Oh, we're back, but not for long.
I think we should sell the go back to doing the paper listen commercial break.
What?
I think we should go back to selling the paper listen commercial breaks.
The paper?
Paper listen?
Listen.
Oh, paper listen.
Oh, okay.
1995, you can get in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we'll supply the laugh track now.
Oh, no. Well, we don't need to. Everybody laughs in here. All right, a couple of little things. There's not much in the bullets today.
Well,
not that anybody cares
about
it. Only
got 6 minutes.
Mike D'Antoni will coach the Houston Rockets. Is his presence alone enough to change things in Houston? A team with some pieces, but not enough. And is D'Antoni even a good coach? I mean, he looked like a genius in Phoenix, looked like a bum in New York.
The question will be, and why did he work so well in Phoenix, is that his relationship with Nash.
What? You got good players? Coach looks good. You got bad players? Coach looks bad.
But how does Mike D'Antoni manage James Harden? And that will be the $64 million question in Houston. Harden is so much of what the Rockets do or don't do is whether Harden's committed or not. And if D'Antoni can motivate Harden 82 times a season, then they have a chance.
Mm. They are retesting samples from past Olympics in light, I suppose, of this Russian thing. Is that okay? Is that a good idea?
To retest or to punish those who are guilty?
Here's what I'm led to believe here, or it's the way it's been explained to me, is there are new testing procedures all the time, and presumably now they have the ability to find things that 4 years ago, 8 years ago, they couldn't find.
Right. Yep.
Right? Is that okay?
Yes. No. I think it's
or should there be
cool.
A statute?
Yes, one no.
Okay. Should there be a statute of limitations?
Yeah, I think you go forward. You live in the now, not in the then. Whatever happened then stays.
I think if you cheat on the world's highest stage, you should pay the price. I just feel bad for the guy who's going to end up with a bronze medal delivered by FedEx. You know, that's who I feel bad for.
Well, it's better than not having a medal at all,
isn't
it? But
he should have had... He should have had their moment.
Well, I feel bad for the guy who for 15 years has been living on the glory of his medal, and now they take it away from him.
Even though he cheated?
Well, did he cheat or did he think it was okay then?
Well, no, the rules are the rules.
But the rules change. They change the rules and the testing procedures.
Based on the rules of
at that time.
But wait, yeah. Do we know enough about the Russian society to know whether these athletes had a choice?
Well, remember this is
like we
this
assume
is
that
this is pretty post heavy. Iron. This is post Iron Curtain.
You're on no, the juice. Still, you're on
but
the juice.
Wait a second. It's systemic in Russia. We've already established there is a systemic problem in Russia with drugs. We don't, maybe it's systemic in North America too, but so far we've had a handful of North Americans that have been caught. We assume every one of them knew what they were taking and everyone knew what the risks were. So it was an individual choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in Russia. You're an athlete in Russia and some guy comes over and says, take this. What's in it? None of your business. Take it.
It's a good question because look at that under 18 hockey team they had. Everybody was on
everybody.
Something. So.
You know, I mean... I'm not sympathetic to any of the individuals in Russia, but I understand that I perceive that to be kind of the problem. It's not one or two guys making this choice. It's somebody above you threatening to send you to, you know.
Siberia.
But that doesn't
happen.
That doesn't happen.
Well, we don't know what happens.
No,
I don't know
on.
What happens.
I think it happens. I saw some movies.
Well, I'll tell you,
Dr. Zhivago did not go to the Olympics, okay?
How about this? Take this drug or you're not on the Olympic team. You think that doesn't happen?
That might happen in most countries.
Bob. Well, so who gets punished here? The athlete?
The athlete ultimately has to wear it.
Yeah. And now we go back to the original question. How far are you prepared to go back? And is that fair and right? And that serve...
8 years.
Yeah, but does it serve any purpose? Silence.
You got to find a way to
either that
get
or they've
the
had
Olympics
enough.
Clean
enough.
At some point.
I know for a fact I've had enough, and I suspect you have too. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday. Good night from Toronto.